Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Detective Comics 1000 review, 80th anniversary Batman celebration, long form thing of comics.
Spectacular.
I'm one of your hosts.
I need a longer
Matt.
Word than that.
What longer word? The extra. Extracalifragilisticexpialidocious spectacular. Anyway,
right, we're
off the rails already. This is going to be great. I'm one of your hosts, Nat. With me, as always, is
Pat,
Cat and Hat,
and Alex.
Yay!
We got a full house today to talk about a book I really enjoyed and am in the minority of.
this is awkward for you.
A bunch of white people telling me I don't know anything. That's what's happening right now.
All right. Well, why don't you, man?
Okay, you know what? I'm just gonna go this route. Yeah, the gay kid over here is telling you.
Oh man, we
gotta play this game. Yeah. All right.
This is all in good-hearted fun. We're gonna have some nice little debate and discussion.
Nice.
No, we are. We're gonna keep it civil. We're gonna be nice to each other.
Yeah, until you hear the crashing in the background.
I'm gonna lead us with overall thoughts so that I can just let it out. I really loved this. I thought it was a fun Batman love letter. There's some stories in here I don't like, straight up. Not that I think are mediocre. There's some stories I just don't like.
Most of them cough. Oh.
And that's, we're trying to be nice to each other until we get to the specific.
Shots fired.
I'm not going to go over the creative teams. We're going to hit our favorites and do the creative teams for those because it's a cavalcade of many creators on this. There's also
11 stories?
Is it 11 stories?
I don't know.
Some of them, maybe that's the problem. Maybe there should have been like six.
The Superman one have? It had 80. I'm assuming they've got. So this one is what, 100 pages, isn't it?
Yeah, this is 100 pages.
Okay, but Superman was
96 pages or something like that.
Superman was 80. So my assumption is they all got about 10 pages a piece, which means eight stories
they
for that.
Didn't. Oh, no? For the Superman one?
For Superman one. But for this one, I'm not super sure. I think they probably, depending on who they were, got more or less pages. But
yeah, and I think that the book suffers a little bit for that. I enjoy this as a Batman fan. Like, that's going to go without saying that I'm going to love this piece. They'd have to really botch it for me to be really upset about it. So, like I said, some stories didn't like. I do like the lead-in, and I'm just going to say this. I don't think anybody has it as their favorites. But the lead-in to Arkham Knight, the medieval story,
I thought that was
really cool. I like the one-panel setup. I just want to give a shout-out to Tomasi. And I think in this it is actually the previous artist, Doug Monkey, is not going forward as the artist in the book for the next arc.
I think it was... When did the Arkham Knight originally show up? Because I only know of him in the video.
This is his first appearance in the
comics. Okay, that's what I thought. So they made him in the... They put him in the... What was it? It was called Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
And it was Jason Todd in the game.
Yes.
So, and I really hope...
Spoiler, if you haven't beat that game, it came out in, 2012.
No, it's fine. It's a review show. Expect spoilers.
I know that it originally showed up. I like that design 15... Because he's like, I'm the Arkham Knight. I'm like, you don't look very knighty. You look robot-y.
Well, and I'm hoping that this isn't Jason Todd and that they do something cool for that story.
I'm assuming Jason Todd's doing his Red Hood stuff, so that would...
Yeah.
I know that Detective Comics gets weird with DC and how the continuity works, but if they're gonna do that to me, I'd be pissed.
Well, what were your overall thoughts on the book then, Kat?
The first story I was like, okay. The second story I was like, oh god, please get better. The third story I was like, oh god, it's not getting better. The fourth story I was like, it's not getting better. And then I can't remember what story it was that I kind of... I was honestly, for like the first half of it, relatively disappointed. Like, I didn't... I hate to do comparisons, and I know they're two very different characters, but it felt like the first half of the book was authors just saying kind of how he's kind of a crappy person, which I understand, but in my head, I'm like, this is a celebration of Batman, not your psychiatric opinion of him.
In no point does it actually say it's a celebration of Batman, though. This is writers telling Batman stories. I think overall the 80th is a celebration of Batman, but some of the things that make the character so well-lasting is the fact that he's a psychiatric evaluation. Like, that's, you know, this character can't exist unless it was the perspective of a 10-year-old to do this job. You know, if this happens to somebody in their 20s, they don't put on a bat suit and go start punching people, you know?
You never know in this world.
You're right. Okay, that's true. We've got some crazies out there.
At the same time, like, I was reading it, and I'm like, all right, not enjoying what I'm seeing, and... eventually I do hit stories that I enjoyed. Like my my personal favorite story for it, because I thought it was a great celebration, like a great point in his character, is like Batman's Greatest Case with Tom King. And
let's not do our favorites just yet, because I want everybody to just do their
all thoughts. But it was, that one was the one that I was like, okay, this is, all right, it got better. Okay. But really, all of them before that, I was just like, I don't like any of this. I don't like this.
Fair enough. Pat, your overall thoughts on the book as a whole?
I was not impressed by this, to be honest. I feel like most of the stories were extremely lackluster. Like, I get what they were all trying to do, but the execution was... It's like all of them had good endings, but not good stories. Like, not good content, if that makes sense. You know, like when you got to the end of most of them, you're like, oh, that's a cool concept, but reading the rest of it, I'm like... bored.
Well, there was like, what, Jeff Johns in there? Oh my god. You had Tom King. You had a lot of people I expected to like knock it out of the park, just kind of made me sad.
Yeah, and maybe I had too high of expectations, because I'd get into a story and I'd be like, oh man, that's Brian Michael Bendis on this one. Let's see what that fool's up to. Oh. Huh. Oh.
In the back of your mind, you're like, all right, stick to Superman, bud, and just keep moving.
Yeah, exactly. Now my old James Tynion the IV coming in on this one. Hot, let's see what you got.
See, the problem is
that's a bad name drop there. That was a good story.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that story a lot. I was like, bad choice in characters. Like,
Jeff Johns one.
The Jeff Johns one is the one where I was like, yeah, Jeff Johns, I love this dude. Oh, man, bro. Yeah,
I'm not taking it back. I still feel that way.
Alex, your overall thoughts on the book as a whole?
I liked it. I don't know. There were like two or three of the 9, 10
short stories. I think there's 11, actually.
Cool! I picked a number!
There's only like a few that I just wasn't that impressed with. The rest are really good concepts. Like, they kind of have... They pick some stories that have like the most interesting plots, I guess. But some of them that were really good, they also made super short. Like, The Precedent.
Yeah.
Was literally only 3 pages. And that feels like it had a great concept, because it focuses a little bit on Robin and like his evolution as a person.
Right.
And then it's only 3 pages. And that's you're going to spend a whole evolution on 3 pages?
To me, as a standout story in the book too. That, so it's odd that that one ended up being only 3 pages long. So do we want to start with our favorites on this now and go through that, or do we want to?
I think yeah, might as well give our impressions. Like, what was your favorite?
My favorite, and this is going to be controversial in this room, I guess, is Manufacture for Use by Kevin Smith, with art by Jim Lee and Scott Williams.
God, that was really
cool. What was great about this one for me is I think it's the best structured story in the entire thing. I think the way that it leads you through Batman's history, and then it uses Matches Malone as a as an entry point into villainy. And for those of us who are fans of the animated series, like, Matches Malone is the gangster version of Bruce Wayne when he does business with the mob. And I kept going through this going, man, they are really featuring the symbol a lot in this story. Like, they keep showing him getting stabbed, or like getting shot in the symbol, or the symbol getting scratched, or he's getting punched in the symbol. I'm like, wow, that's really weird. As I'm reading the story, going, that's fucking strange. And I love the symbol. It's actually the yellow emblem, the oval that we're used to from like the Keaton movie or the classic 1966 TV series. And it turns out that the whole story is about the symbol. And I thought that was incredibly, like, as a comic book reader and an artist, I was noticing it, but I don't know if everybody else got that as they were reading it, that they kept focusing on the symbol, and then it turns out to be about the gun that killed his parents. And it's very macabre, and I kind of like that idea. You know, it goes back to the pulp idea of the character. So, yeah. So for me, I loved it. And it's Jim Lee's artwork. It's gorgeous. And it was cool seeing Jim Lee draw that version of Batman, which I hadn't seen a ton of. Kat, I know you have different feelings about that.
I have super big, giant, different feelings about that. Super giant, huge, big feelings about that.
Super huge Gentic. So what's what were your thoughts on manufactured for use? Why am I wrong?
No, just no. I get, like, I understand your thought process, but mine's so different. It might just be because we have, there might be just the disagreement of how we view a character, because in my mind, it's not the gun that paints him as what he is. It's the tragedy, because I think no matter what you replace it with in that story, it would have been, because they do it with Flashpoint. His dad, was his son shot or something?
Yeah, his son was shot.
Yeah, so he uses guns in that. It's not the gun that does it. It's the tragedy of losing his parents that sets him over the edge. And that's kind of where he just made this focal point of the gun. I'm like, no, it's the tragedy. It's the tragedy. It's the tragedy.
That I completely disagree with. One of the criticisms of the character in other media than comics is that he kills. And the whole point of the comic Batman is, I don't use a gun. Guns are tools for wussies. These are the tools that we use. And he uses the shuriken, the batarangs. It's to disarm and to use your speed and agility. And the gun is a representation of the things we don't use as heroes. We don't kill. And the fact that that gun, which Alfred even calls out as being very strange for him to even try to acquire, but to use it as a defensive weapon, as to be like, I am going to put the thing that caused me all this pain right in front of my heart to protect me. This is going to be my shield. So I think the gun is a great metaphor for that. Because, yeah, Batman shouldn't kill. And in classically, the original version of the character who had a gun was the gun that killed his parents. So this is part of the history of the character, too, that it ties in.
Nah. This is the note.
I totally think that that's a great, like, metaphor and ending and sort of, like, and if I remember correctly, an old Batman, like, it was just the symbol that was, like, the bulletproof part.
So that's, it's really only a thing that came up in Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. Like, that's the first time.
It comes up in Arkham Knight as well.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. It's like, the genesis of that idea was Dark Knight Returns. Because everybody was like, why would you have a yellow symbol? It's like, well, because it's to wear a target in his chest.
Well, yeah, and because, I mean, he even says, you know, don't aim for the bat symbol. That's where it's most plated.
Did they say that in the game?
They do, because Arkham Knight. Yeah, the Arkham Knight actually says it. He says, "Don't shoot the symbol. Shoot the between the plates, because the symbol is supposed to be a target. It's the most armored."
Yeah,
yeah. And see, like, I'm there, like, cool. That's a cool idea. I like the metaphor there. I like the all that stuff. But the rest of the story was just it was all just like flat lead up to an interesting ending.
I guess I don't understand. Like, what was it?
What
do you mean this flat lead up?
I just don't feel like the rest of the story was, like, really that necessary. Honestly, like,
there wasn't any climax.
Yeah, there's no climax. He just goes to a pawn shop, buys a gun, and the then whole story melts is it down.
Showing how that has saved him. How everybody focuses on that, and they hit that point, and so that what was there is the reason that he survived all of these encounters.
Well, yeah, and I get that, and it's the gun that that literally hurt him the most in his life, and now he's using that to protect him. It also killed his parents, and he's using it to save his own life, and blah, 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 all that other stuff. But I don't know, like, I guess I don't have any, like, very specific criticisms about it, because I just don't feel like that there was much there. He's just fighting a bunch of his old foes, and it's showing how, yeah, it's saving his life.
But isn't that the point, is to lead us into the ending? Because, once again, this one also doesn't have the title card at the beginning. It shoots you right into the story and the process. It also introduces, like, were you familiar with Matches Malone prior to the story?
I didn't know that was his name, but when he got back, I was just like, oh, that's Bruce in disguise. He's done disguises before.
And that's it's a love letter to Batman fans. I think this is the perspective thing. Like, for me, being the Batman guy, like, this hit all of the notes. So
I guess for me, I'm not really keen on, well, my trauma saved me. I'm like, did it, though? Did it?
I don't... That really doesn't feel like the message to me, is that the trauma saved me. It's the idea that you don't have to be beholden to the trauma.
Yeah.
So this gun here isn't going to be like, this is the thing that saves me and that the trauma saved me. It's like, I'm going to use this as that was a negative that people would think is kind of a strange thing to own. I'm going to melt it down and I'm going to make sure that I can stay alive to prevent what happened to me and my family from happening to others.
Yeah. He is symbolically moving past the tragedy that has so like been a part of his identity for a while.
And he's keeping the love of his parents close to his heart.
Because moving past is a strong term because of tragedies like that in real life too. Well, no. You can't really ever move past, but you make it a part of yourself and you wear it on your heart and then...
I guess in the back of my mind, this is such a clash then with like the whole thing that happened in Tom King's comic, because basically she's like, he can't be happy, he can't move past this because then... He's not Batman
anymore. We're not going to talk about Tom King's comic right now.
I mean, I know. Okay, sour subject. I'm just. I don't know. For me, it's like it's an impasse. I can't. Like, I keep hitting roadblocks.
I think that now you're talking too much in continuity, and I think that this whole book shouldn't even be looked at as part of continuity, with the exception of the Arkham Knight story. Like, all of this is these creators taking their.
Oh, it's not even really looking at it like in continuity. I guess per se, it just to me it doesn't. I guess in my head, I have a different perspective of what Batman is than Kevin Smith and you do, and I don't know if it's because I'm Superman, but that's kind of where I sit.
I don't know.
Alex, what was your thoughts on the story? Because we kind of monopolized the conversation.
No, it's good. I don't know. I didn't really have like strong feelings about this story. I thought it was good because obviously it was meant to be symbolic, and as an anthology series, it was a good pick for trying to understand more about like who Batman is and why he is the way he is. Because I know that there are a lot of people that think that Batman is too gritty as a character, and sometimes they make stories that are like, he's already gritty, you don't need to make him more gritty.
Yeah.
And I guess that was kind of like what came to mind when I was reading the story, but it's good for the symbolism. So.
All right, Kat, what was your favorite in the book? If there was such a thing.
There was, because I actually, the second half of it, I won't lie, I'm like, if this doesn't get better soon, like, I'm not gonna finish this. Which, I mean, once I hit the Geoff Johns one, that one hurt me.
That one's not good.
That one hurt me on the inside. I was like, I love you, Geoff Johns, you hurt me.
Kelly Jones' artwork, I mean, bless him.
That didn't help.
It reminded
me of, what was it, the Scarecrow one that they did?
It's the same artist.
Oh, is that really the same artist? Okay, that explains.
So I think we're past that art style in terms of the, like...
I definitely am, because they gave him that... His head just weirded me out through that, because they made him, like, his head huge. And
great for vampires and monsters, not good for people.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a fair statement. That's a completely fair statement. Okay, yeah, so it's, like, one story after that, but it's Batman's Greatest Case by Tom King, and then Tony S. Daniel and Joelle Jones. That one was probably... To me, my favorite one, because it showed the entire Bat family and it shows what he created with his pain. He might not have his parents and he might not really have a family, but damn, he fucking made one. Yeah. Plus, I got Batwoman, so there was that, and her and Batgirl. What makes you a woman and me a girl? Have you been to war? Cool, you're still a girl. And I was like, yeah!
It was my favorite because of the banter, and like you kind of see the family dynamic. And especially like with the back and forth, like is Jason getting kicked out of the family? Or like what's, and they just keep drawing back to it as a focal point. It's good.
Yeah, should Jason be kicked out?
Yes, this is one of the few stories. I know I came off pretty hard on it, but I really love this story because it's like, this is kind of what I wanted from the Detective Comics, is to, like, really emphasize, like, Batman's character. Like, this is so Batman. Like, he would set up this elaborate meeting with all these, like, dead drop, you know, address, like, to different people just to take a family photo.
Right.
Like, he's not just going to call up everyone and be like, hey, come to my house and we'll, like, take a picture together. Like everyone
has to,
like,
set it up like a meeting,
like on a rooftop, and he gets there and he doesn't even say anything. He just like jams like the Batarang camera in the wall
and says cheese.
Yeah, and then just says cheese.
Cheese.
But I mean, the other portion of it is the end part of it where he takes the photo and brings it to his parents' grave. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, look what I created. I know, I probably am not the healthiest human, but look what I created.
This story is
I love that too. I'm like, I want a poster of that in my room.
Mm-hmm. That is a great
story. I loved and hated this story at the same time. And the reason I hate it is, Tom King, why isn't this the Batman story you're telling us instead of breaking him down to the point that it's absolutely absurd and boring?
Oh, yeah.
So like this...
trying to build him back up.
Yeah. It just brings the salt back. Yeah,
it totally does. Like, I mean, Catwoman standing right at his side.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what? Like, how come you can tell this, but this is not what you want to tell us?
I'm pretty sure she brought up, she's like, is this about that thing? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So I don't...
I'm just like, you douche.
it's pretty, too. Like, both Joelle Jones and Tony Daniels did great jobs.
I mean, look at Batwoman. She looks fucking great. Yeah. I mean, when the close-up of her and Batgirl... Yeah. She's like, why are you a woman and I'm a girl? And I'm like,
I don't think that girl's new costume, just from a personal standpoint. But
I don't either.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Where are the ears? She doesn't feel batty to me. That's okay.
Yeah. Whatever. Oh, well.
Yeah.
She's trying to be more like Nightwing, I guess.
But I think you guys hit the nail on the head with the family dynamic and like how that tied to
It's a celebration of the Detective Comics, and I know for most people they don't actually realize that the Detective Comics are the ones that contain the Bat family. So that is also a part of Batman's celebration.
She has ears in other panels.
Oh, so it's just in that one?
Maybe her hair. Is it her hair that flew up and over it?
They're tiny.
Yeah.
They're just little.
Gotcha.
And then I know when she talks to Batwoman, I do remember seeing ears. Where is it?
Oh yeah, she totally has them.
They're just small.
They just look like tiny little.
but the part of bringing the picture to his parents' grave is interesting because from the family aspect, you can see his parents as essentially being the grandparents mm-hmm. of the Bat family.
Yep. Oh, that's brilliant.
Like, and if Bruce is the father, like he's like,
yeah,
see, you raised me, and this would be like these are your grandchildren, essentially that you never got to meet and that never got to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a literal in that because Damian is part of the group, so yes. They get to see that.
Yes, that's true.
I do like it's missing Alfred, which is kind of sad.
He's in the photo though.
Is he in the photo?
Yeah.
I just found it funny.
You're right.
You're the 12th greatest detective or the 11th greatest detective.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
For Dick Grayson.
Yeah, I guess I am better than. It says something about Ace. It's like, if we're including Ace, you're the 12th.
Yep. That's amazing. Dick Grayson, the one who was arguably the better Batman, is the 12th greatest detective.
Doesn't he say like behind Detective Chimp too or something like that?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
that was that was a pretty good story too.
Was that your favorite too, Pat, or did you have a different one that you actually cite as your favorite?
No, that was probably my second favorite of the two that I actually liked in this. My first favorite was definitely the Legend of Newt Brody, written by Paul Denny with art by Dustin Nguyen. This is so great. Essentially, like, and this is what I'm talking about like pulling it off well. Like the way they were going around and interviewing all the different villains about this one random henchman that, like, you know, you can totally see him in any comic ever. Like, it'd be fun to go back because he's based on like classic like mugger villain style. You know, just like the big oafish guy. He's always causing problems for the people that hire him. It's like so straight out of like all comic books, you know, like the hapless henchman. And then it turns out in the end that he's been like different members of the Bat family this whole time, just in disguise, like essentially a sleeper agent into any like criminal syndicate they need to get into just to like destroy the plan from the inside. And that's so genius. That's such a Batman thing to be like, to do something so genius and so simple that like you get to it and you're like, of course. Like, it's so odd. Like, and he always has a backup plan for everything, you know, like going into things.
Well, you know what was fun for me? Number one, this creative team I absolutely love. Paul Dini and Dustin Nguyen did a book called Gotham Knights, actually, for a short period of time.
Okay.
And, you know, it was about the Batman family, and it was detective stuff. And Paul Dini is most famous for being one of the head writers for Batman the Animated Series. So, clearly...
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah. Okay. So you have a lot of, like, it's easy to tie in the simple, quick storytelling. He gets that because of the formats he's worked in before.
Okay.
But what I thought was great about this is it followed Manufacture for Use... and Manufacture for Use was about Matches Malone being able to be the character that he, Batman, was to go in and infiltrate the gangs. And now this is the next evolution of that, is he's like, well, I got to bring in everybody to be able to do that. So Matches is going to be retired, and we're all going to play this one part separately.
Yeah, and then you can, because then you can also bring in, he can be Batman, and like then nobody suspects Newt Brody or Batman of either of them. And then, of course, the end part two where then, like, Poison Ivy kills him.
Right.
And then Damian's like, not until I get to be Newt Brody Jr.
Which was just such a Damian thing. It's like, we love you, Damian, but you're kind of like, really? Damian wants to do something now. What do you think, Alex?
Of the story in particular?
Yeah, the Legend of Newt Brody.
Really good. So, I think my favorite part might be the art.
Dustin, the artist from Descender.
Really?
Is who does this, but he's got his inker, Derek Fridolfs, and his co-writer, Derek Fridolfs, will write with him. He writes the Lil Gotham together.
The art is brilliant, because I'm looking at the beginning of this, and like the way Harley is done, the way that Robin is done, just my absolute favorite.
Oh, yeah. He's my favorite Batman artist, maybe besides Tim Sale. Okay. I love the way Dustin Nguyen draws the whole Bat family.
It's so good. And the storyline just made it like 10 times better, because I totally thought, like, this was going to be a story just about a terrible henchman. And in my brain, I've always wondered about henchmen. Like, where did they come from? Is there, like, a henchman school? How does that work?
I got to really, like, tout Gotham Knights. So we're going to have to get some sort of a trade paperback, because they do some weird stuff. Like, they actually have a whole character that her job is to fix henchmen, like, the layers. Like, that's what she does, is she builds layers for people. So,
I've totally had that exact idea for a book for a while.
It's so, so... I actually think she's in this story, but continue.
It's cool, but, I mean, they just, like, added their own comedic twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brilliant. Like, I got to the end of the story and actually laughed. I don't usually do that when reading comics, but...
She is in the book. She's called the Carpenter.
Oh, oh really? Nice.
And she, yeah, so she...
Yeah, because she's there with the Hatter gang, yep. Right? The Mad Hatter gang.
She, in this creative team, did that story. They told them that they introduced this character who helps build the layers and stuff. It's a great book. I miss a lot, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so I like that one. Well, Alex, what about you? What was your favorite story of the book?
It was the same one as Cats. It was the...
Greatest
case, I think.
Batman's greatest case. Yeah.
You were pretty big on the precedent as well, though, right?
I was. I liked the precedent mostly because it shows like the evolution of Robin, and mostly like the original Robin, like Dick Grayson. But it also kind of leads into like how future Robins end up coming into play, almost just by explaining like what his relationship with Batman was, or like, and also they kind of explore like how he created his own family in like teaming up with other like sidekicks, quote unquote, or
the Titans,
superheroes, and he kind of did the same thing that Batman did. He like created his own family.
This was the story that made me cry, because I have a huge affinity for Nightwing. When that first series launched, I have the individual miniseries for Nightwing, when they finally gave him his own title. And there's something about... The thing that I always think works the best at DC, and when they get away from it, is when I feel like DC loses their way, and which is what's happening right now, is legacy. Legacy is so important in DC Comics. That's why Rebirth worked so well. That's why Dick Grayson as Batman worked so well. And he is the representation of legacy. He's the first sidekick. And the way that they, the interplay between the Alfred and Bruce, having that discussion about what does a sidekick look like? You know, what is that actually, what do we do with this kid? And then it expands. I like the fact that this is a conversation between Alfred and Batman. It just feels, or Alfred and Bruce, just going straight into Batman.
Now he's talking to himself. He might need to, I'm a little worried now.
Yeah.
Don't give him any batterings.
No, I just, it's so powerful to me what that character became. And then that final image is just so beautiful of the oath and the seeing classic Batman, classic Robin together. Shout out to Alvaro Martinez Bueno on pencils.
It was pretty. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to talk about least favorites now, or do we want to go into some cover discussions?
I feel like we covered mine. I don't know if anybody else has some ones they just want to destroy.
I already said, except for those two that I mentioned, all the rest are my least favorites.
The only one I really didn't like was the one with the penguin.
Oh my god, I loved the one with the penguin.
I hated that one too.
I was not a fan of that.
So I don't want to dwell on this one too much. I just don't understand what was so bad about that it stuck out as being a negative one.
Oh, I just didn't care about it. That's probably what it was.
I had no stake in it.
I don't follow Batman as much as anybody else here, and I've already seen this story way too many times. Hi, I'm a villain. I know your secret identity. Hey, I'm Batman. I will electrocute you with my wheelchair. Oh, didn't see that coming. Should have thought about that better.
The framing device is Bruce on his deathbed and Penguin thinking that he's safe to finally say it.
Yeah.
He said, all this time I knew. And I chose not to reveal it. I'm one of your allies. I chose not to tell you that, or tell anybody.
Batman knew that he knew this whole time. Look at him outsmarting his adversaries. Never seen that done before.
That's stark contrast to what you said you enjoyed about the previous story, or about the story with the whole family, is the fact that Batman has the contingency plans. So you're saying that this is a negative now, that Batman had the contingency plan and always knew?
I think
this is a great characterization in the same sense that he always knew.
I think in the back of my mind, it was just one of those stories where I'm like, oh yeah, Batman knew. Okay.
It's the Bat God thing. You either go with the Bat God or you don't go with the Bat God.
All right, fair enough. I did say, like, the contingency plans, but I feel like Newt Brody was an interesting one instead of just this, which is his contingency
plans. I'm not talking about the Newt Brody one. I'm talking about what you said with the way that he would do some sort of elaborate scheme to get everybody to the same place, and it would be a whole thing because he's plan on plan on plan. And this is kind of the same.
But he didn't plan this out. The Penguin is just there talking to him.
Oh, he knew. He planned out enough to have the electrical shock ready so that if he ever got visited by somebody, he's like, yeah, I knew this already.
Well, of course, because he's Batman. Of course he'd have a tricked out wheelchair when he has one that has a million gadgets. It probably turns into a plane, too.
I think it could turn into a mech suit, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Can I get that, too, though? Because I do want that.
All Batman Bruce.
Well, okay, I like Bat God for me, like the Grant Morrison run where it was literally he had plan on plan on plan on plan on plan. That I love that idea, and it also makes him really psychotic, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, and that's a cool thing about Batman. Like I said, I just didn't think that this was executed in a way that I haven't seen before.
There wasn't any hook.
But why does it have to be something you haven't seen before? Why can't it be a celebration of the character? Like, in a way, it's a positive view of Penguin, and Penguin was much smarter than we give him credit for.
Yeah, and like,
I always thought Penguin was just motivated by money anyway, so
yeah.
You have to have some intelligence when you're just motivated by one singular thing.
And you say that, motivated by money, and what does he look like? Ben Franklin?
I was thinking the Monopoly Man.
That's too, like, that's funny. I also like, there's so much, I think this is, again, the ones that I really gravitated towards were the ones that were like, hey, Batman fans, we know that you love these villains and we love these elements of the story. Because the first page has the penguins with the rockets and the helmets.
Well, the other part of it is they had I would call it a tick, where it's like, meh.
Wah, wah, wah. The weep.
Yeah. Wah, wah. Yeah, and in this, I like that because it kind of almost seems more like a gasp or whatever, kind of like, he's old. So yeah, it's just, you know, that kind of stuff, but.
I also, I got lost in the art of this one. I thought Alex Maleev was doing a tour de force on the artwork in this. Really, really pretty.
Art was good.
Yeah.
That's what I can say about this one.
Alex doesn't think the art was good.
No, I did not like the art.
Oh, really?
Art, it reminds me of when Jarrell Jones did some artwork, and that's probably why I liked it. Because, like, this one right here, I don't know what it is, but, like, his face and stuff just reminds me of it.
I just like the hard lines that you see. And I think Alex Maleev is a complete digital artist, but...
That's legit.
Yeah. I also like the bat suit, because it was kind of different. It was very, very dark with a gold symbol, and then it seemed to have the collar line that, Sean Murphy did with the White Knight.
Okay.
I don't know. I like this one. I'm going to defend this one just to say that I think it was fun. And sometimes things can just be pretty.
I'm literally sitting here with a Superman ring. We all know where my loyalties lie, so.
I guess then, yeah, there's not a whole lot to talk about the ones we disliked, because we kind of hit them.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we already know what Cat's biggest problem.
Neil Adams, too, the one where he does, don't draw Batman's eyes in the cowl.
Oh, God, no.
It's
that's like
so weird.
It's like a pet peeve. I'm like, all right, you know what? I understand he's scary. You made him scarier.
Yeah.
Because it's got, like,
which one is that?
I'm like, is his cowl white, or are his eyes white, or are they his eyes?
It's Heretic.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Neil Adams' new artwork. I like what he did in the 70s, but
I did not enjoy that story either.
It's weird.
Yeah. That one I was super disappointed too, because yeah, Christopher Priest is the man, and I was just like, what is happening in this story?
And Neil Adams, I mean, you want to talk about people who defined the character of Batman in terms of art and like pushing art forward?
I will honestly say, I think if for some of the people that they picked, I don't know half the time if short stories are good for them or they need a whole comic book.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of stuff for like Jeff Johns where he had like a few pages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, in the last few things I've read, they're whole comic books. They're full 20 pages.
That's weird. He only does it in the one panel?
Yeah, everything else when it's far away is just wide-eyed, and I'm like, what the hell?
That's so weird.
It's a level of realism I don't need in my comics.
I don't even know if it has realism, because it's like, at that point, if I can see his eyes, and then he moves away, and you just see white, I don't understand.
It's when you're up close, you can see the whites of his eyes. Wait, what? Anyway.
Back up.
Well, we should give a quick shout-out to which covers we all got, though, probably.
I got all of them, so that's
I know, I got like 5 or 6 of them, so.
All right, well, what are y'all's top 2 or 3, then?
Oh, I have distinct favorites. I actually had a very hard time with the covers because I got them all and it, you know, I don't know, when I looked at the Superman covers, I'm like, oh, these are all awesome, and then I had like a least favorite, obviously, but I didn't dislike any of them.
Yeah.
This one, I'm like, okay, I like you, and you, and you, and you. That's awkward.
There was a lot more that you didn't like.
I liked the Jacques.
That was my least favorite variant.
Everybody kept saying they really hated the I liked it.
It was so boring. It's just Batman's face.
I like it, but it's so stylistically interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His art is so stylistically interesting. Give me a nice splash page of Batman swinging.
Fair enough.
And then I have my favorite one, which is the 1930s one. And I'm like,
Steve Rude.
And I'm looking at this, and it's like, this is awesome! Face? Alright, moving on.
My favorite was the 1950s one by Michael Cho. It's the one that has, like, the mummy Batman and the Batman of many colors.
I actually really like that one, too.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I love that stuff. I love the harkening back, especially when Grant Morrison tried to explain it as a weird, like, psychedelic hallucination when he was trying to get into the mindset of the Joker. So all of those stories are just him completely hallucinating while under the deprivation chamber.
Oh man, I don't know. It's insane.
Yeah,
which one is that?
The Greg Capullo cover is the one I got.
2010s,
yeah. So it's once again, and I think that's probably why I went for it, because stylistically it's interesting, but you get the full Batman.
I wanted a little rim around the symbol on that one, just for him to be like, yeah, that's my fucking bat suit. That's the suit I designed, Greg Capullo. I really think they've done an injustice by taking away the suit he designed. I keep saying that.
I mean, it's always the same. It's the same game with Superman. He's got his trunks back. It is what it is. I'll deal with it. I enjoyed all my covers. It's fine.
Alex, your favorite was Jock, you said, right?
Yeah, I really hated the...
The main cover was busy.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the art. Like, I don't like the way Joker looks. I don't like the way Harley looks or Catwoman.
We're talking about Jim Lee here. This is that's a controversial thing to say.
And I feel like there's just like... If they're all like in a position together or something like that, and
well, I mean, the saltiness all, is still there because I'm pretty sure
like 18 different fight scenes.
I think he put like certain Bat Family people in there, and I'm like, all right, where's Batwoman? Because she's great, and that's just if you don't have Batwoman, Cat's usually like 95% of the time not interested.
And he has a story in the book where it's about the we talked about my favorite story. Why is he not wearing the yellow symbol? Like, it has no synergy with the interior of the book.
Yeah, I know. That's I don't know. I have that one, too, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, I don't even know if I like this.
Which is weird, because I love Jim Lee.
I know, me too. Like, the Kevin Smith story, that was the only part I liked about it, was Jim Lee's art.
Very good art.
So that one, I was like, yeah, this is great. Oh, yeah, he did the main cover. I don't like it. What happened here?
Weird.
right?
Well, we're all in agreement on that one, too.
Well, I guess we should... that seems like about it, unless...
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. Thoughts. Final note, yeah, read this. Especially if you're a Batman fan. There's so many Batman different stories fan, in here.
Read it. For everybody else, still read it. There's you'll get your money's worth without some of the actual stories. Pat will disagree with me.
It's 80th anniversary. Celebrate your characters.
Yeah. Anyway, well, with that, I guess we'll say goodbye then.
All right.
Bye.